Parshas Achrimos Kedoshim. We're going to concentrate on Kedoshim, but this really is something that spans both Parshios. It really is Shaychus to both. The Pasuk is already in the Arayas, Perchof, Pasuk Yud Zayin. It says, Ve'ish Asher Yikach Zachoso, Basi V'basimo, a man that takes his sister, his daughter of his father, or daughter of his mother, V'ra'as Ervasav Yitira Ervaso, he sees her Erva, she sees his Erva, Chesedhu. The wording that's used is, that is a Chesed. That is a chesed. Now, clearly the meaning of the word here is that's disgusting. But the word chesed is used. The nichrusu le'enei b'nei amam, they are going to be cut off in front of the eyes of all the people. Everyone will know about it. It's going to be bad for everybody. Erva sachoso gila. He has revealed the erva of his sister. Avonu yiso, he's going to carry that sin for him for the rest of his lives. So before we get into this specific pasuk and regarding sisters, we're going to go into a riot with an unbelievably strange gemara. A gemara that I honestly have never understood until I saw this piece from Rav Schwab. It's a Gemara in Nedarim, and that Nun Aleph, Bar Kapara, who's one of the great Talmidim of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, comes along and sees Rebbe's daughter. Now, Rebbe's son's wedding, Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rebbe, who would later on be the Av Beis Din, never became the Nasi, but an Av Beis Din, a very, very big Rosh Yeshiva in the times after Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi passed away. Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe was about to get married. So, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, his daughter was around. Bar Kapara saw her and said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make your father laugh at the wedding and dance for me at the wedding itself. I'm going to say something that's going to make him laugh and that's going to make him dance. To which obviously she didn't understand what he meant, but that's what he said. So we went up to Rebbe in the middle of the wedding and he said, what does the word toeva mean? The word toeva, an abomination, is used by a few of the arayas. Specifically, it's used by when people are together, which is an illicit relation. He said, what happens at that point? To which Rebbe responded, it means abomination. And Bar Kapara said, that's not what it means. Look at the word toeva. You can see the words toa ataba. You are mistaken in her. You made a mistake when it comes into this situation. That's what it means. After drinking another cup of wine, he went up to him and he said, what does the word tevel mean? Tough but bays lamed, which is used by bestiality. When a person is together with an animal, he says, what does the word tevel mean? To which again, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi answered, it means an abomination, something disgusting. That's what it means. To which he said back, he said, no. Tevel stands for tavlin yeshba. Does this taste good to you? Is this something that's good for you? Tevel is also something disgusting. So finally, he asked the third question. He said, what is the word zima? Zima, which means an illicit relation. What does that word mean? To which he says, that revolves mothers and daughters, etc. Bar Kapara said, it means zu mahi. This, what is it that you're doing? And that's where the word zima comes from, zu mahi. Ben Alasa, Rebbe's very wealthy son-in-law, who was married to that daughter, when he saw that Rebbe was laughing and dancing in front of Bar Kapara after hearing such jokes, such riddles, he was horrified by the show. He took his wife and he got up and he left the wedding. That's the end of the Gemara. There's no other Bar Kapara went to apologize. That's the end of the Gemara. And the question is, what in the world is going on here? What is he saying? And what was this joke, the riddle that he was trying to say? So Rav Schwab says, it's clear that something's going on here. Making him get up and dance. Why in the world would he ask these questions at a wedding? He's going into a riot at a wedding? That's what he's talking about? Talk about the greatness of the Chassan and the Kala. No Badchan is going to get into stuff like this. What's Bar Kapara doing over here? So he says, there is a hidden message in Bar Kapara's words to the Kedusha that is there in a typical marriage between a man and a woman. So this is how he understood. A wife is not meant to be someone to just talk to in learning and improving your arguing skills. That's not what she's there for. She's not there to argue with. She's not there to be your chavrusa, another person for you to, you know, to spar off with. That's not the point of a wife, and I think we understand that. She's also not someone to meet your physical desires, that you have a physical desire and your wife is there to fulfill that need. That is not what a wife is for. And the third thing is, she's not there to take care of you and to be your mommy. She's not there to be your little person taking care of everything you need so that you can go and do everything you want. You can take care of everything you want to do in your life. It's not what a wife is there for. A person who gets married to someone, right, and it's taking the place of his male best friend, just another guy for him to be around, like now I have a wife, to be that person is going around, he's getting married for the wrong reason. The idea over here is she is a toeva. a toa ataba. You're making a mistake here, and it's specifically used, that word is used by a male-on-male relationship. That it's toeva. You think a relationship is finding another guy like you, another person for you to spar with, another chavrusa like you? That's not what a marriage is all about. It's not supposed to be there. She's supposed to be an azer kenegdo, a helpmate that is opposite you in many different ways. But the kenegdo is the important part over there. There needs to be that emotional piece, the other side to what a marriage is all about, to which people are missing. And that's what he means by the word toeva. On the other hand, a person should not marry a woman just for her looks, for her physical attributes. That's the idea of what a person goes into. Concentrating, so to speak, on the animalistic part of the relationship. And therefore, by bestiality, it uses the word tevel, in which it says, tavlin yeshba. What, is there a spice to this? Is it all about the spices? The ikar is the meat, not the spice that you're putting into it. The ikar is the idea behind the relationship. It's not about just, well, she's great looking and therefore everything's there. You're missing out on the point if you're in there just for the tavlin yeshba. And finally, he says, the third one is the one who acts as a mother and a daughter. When you get married to someone, you think she's going to be able to take care of me for the rest of my life. I no longer have to cook or clean or do anything else that's out there. That's not true love. That's just using someone. Zumahi. What is this woman here for you? Is she here just to take care of all your needs? You have nothing at all, nothing that you can do. It's all her taking care of you when it comes into this. You're missing out on everything. And all three represented. The idea was that a pure relationship is someone that is an opposite of you, who can also help you when you help her, and someone that you're attracted to, but not someone who the physicality is ruling the relationship. In that sense, Bar Kavar was turning to Rebbe and saying, this is the pshat behind a real relationship, and he was going to give an example. And a perfect example of this relationship was Ben Alasa and Ben Alasa's wife, Rebbe Yehuda Anasi's daughter. He was going to turn to them and say, and this is the relationship that everyone should emulate, should strive to be like. Because look at how Ben Alasa treats his wife. Look at how Ben Alasa's wife treats him. Look at that relationship. Everybody should be there. And Ben Alasa saw exactly what was happening. Ben Alasa realized what was going on. He got up and left the wedding before he could be used as an example. He got up, not because he was angry, but he got up and tried to get out of there before anything goes down over here. The idea is that a person is there. A reason why a person gets married is in order to fulfill their tafkid in life along with a person who has a similar tafkid. Purposes aligning together. Sometimes they can be a little bit tweaked. Sometimes they could even be somewhat opposite of one another. But the purpose is not for anything else. It's about learning what your imperfections are, correcting them, and allowing yourself to become better along with someone else who has to do the exact same thing. When a person does that correctly, then there's no such thing. So what we're doing is we're taking the arayos, the parsha of the arayos themselves, and the words used to describe them and show how that is a wrong relationship to have. That, so to speak, getting involved in a relationship with a mother and a daughter or an animal or one of your own gender is missing something. You're missing something of that point that makes a relationship perfect. When you perfect that system, then you'll have a good relationship. And that's the idea behind the parsha of arayos. Yeah.
If it was all supposed to be serious, why did Rabbi Yehuda Anasi get up and...
I would assume he was so happy about the... And dance. He was so happy about the idea that Bar Kavara said and the riddle that he gave in order to come out with it. And that's really what Badchanim are. When we go to weddings and you see a Badchan, he's all about trying to figure out a riddled way of figuring out what a great relationship is and trying to show you the greatness of that Chasan and Kala within that riddle form so that everybody understands. I think that's the idea of what Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was trying to do.
Why did Ben Alasa not want to be used?
I would assume for Gaiva reasons. He didn't want to be known as like a Baal Gaiva when it came down to it. But still, we're missing a big part of the Parsha. Chesed who? What is chesed who? Why in the world are we calling a relationship with a sister a chesed? So the Ibn Ezra says that first of all, when we see this pasuk, we have to remind us that brothers and sisters live together. They play together, games, etc. from their youth. They're constantly in a state of yichud, in which they're together in the same house, same areas, and whatever it is. And especially back then, when houses were so small, clearly there were times where obviously brothers and sisters had to sleep in the same area. So the fact that yichud is allowed and something happens, they go too far, is a possibility that's going to be there. It definitely could happen. It could be expected if you don't give the brothers and sisters, your sons and daughters, the proper tools to understand what to do and when. That if a person just lets it be a hefker belt, lets them figure it out on their own, then unfortunately bad things happen. So Ibn Ezra points out in the beginning that a person needs proper chinuch to understand what it means. This is not a good relationship. There are other relationships to be had. Something different to recognize what's good and what's wrong. The Ramban says, the pasuk adds on something, a little few words that are not by other arayas. This pasuk is really strange, not just from the word chesed, but everything is strange about this pasuk. The word yikach is used. Yikach is a lashon of kiddushin. Anybody who's done kiddushin on daf beis, kicha, kicha, misdei Ephron, right? Kicha is a lashon of marriage. You cannot marry your sister, even if you give her a ring and you say, Arei at mikudeshes li b'tavazu, kidas Moshe v'Yisrael, it doesn't work. There is no kiddushin by a sister. The word yikach should never be used. That is not the right word to be used when talking about your sister. And there are other relationships like that, but that's still strange. The word is true by seemingly any erva you're allowed to have yichud with, but it's still really strange. Since they may even be in the same bed with each other as they grow older, because that was the norm back in the day, it's certainly possible that they've seen the ervas of one another. That's certainly possible, which is the next part of the pasuk. But it's weird that the pasuk has to point that out. Huraz erva so, he teres erva so. Why do you have to point that out? Now that's a point, by the way, that I'm not going to go into today. That is another point. There's a point that deals, the Gemara deals with the Nita, but that's not something I want to deal with right now. The word chesed obviously is off. And finally, not only does it mention kares, which is abnormal completely, every other erva, it doesn't mention the word kares. There's like a kares that's general for all arayas, that sort of applies for everybody, and then it seconds it. It says it again by a choso, which is weird. It mentions kares again, and then at the end of the pasuk, avono yisah, he carries his sin with him, which is also strange. Why in the world are you adding on all these words, which seemingly are not necessary? So Rashi says, the first question, well, one of the questions of chesed. He says, Rashi says, the word chesed in Aramaic is chizdah. Chizdah is a degradation, a cherpa, says Rashi. It's a form of something disgusting. So when we read chesed hu, it really is being together with one sister is disgusting. And it's translated the way the Aramaic word goes, not as it is a kindness, which is weird. It is disgusting to be together with one sister. Targum Unkelus says the same thing. He says kalana. It is a shame to be together with one sister. That's the idea behind it. Ramban says it's so simple. Obviously, most people would be completely ashamed if people found out about his relationship with his sister. And therefore, it's embarrassing, it's strange to hear about. That's the idea behind the pasuk. Chesed, who? That's disgusting. How could you do such a thing? It's something that anyone and everyone would absolutely be embarrassed about. The Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam say it comes from the pasuk in Mishlei. Pasuk in Mishlei, Chaf Hei Yud, said, Pen Yichas Decha Yishma Shomea, which means the following: never reveal the secrets that people tell you, because maybe your shame will be known to others. The fact that you let it go, somebody told you a secret, and you let it go and you told other people that secret, penya chasika, the word chesed over here, is something despicable. Your shame, something despicable that you did, will be known to other people. The Rashbam adds the pasuk in Yud Dalid Lamed Dalid Mishlei. It says, chesed le'umim chatos. The disgustingness of the nations is their sin, that they are disgusting people. So the word chesed seems to have a double connotation. One, that it means kindness, and yet again, according to this idea in Aramaic, it means something that's absolutely disgusting. The Ibn Ezra, the Rashbam, Rashi, Targum Unkelus, and Ramban are all saying the same thing. In fact, Ramban goes a little bit further. This guy thinks he can do whatever he wants in private. He can be together with her in any which way and nobody will ever find out about it. Says the pasuk, this will be revealed. Everyone will know about it. This kares will be le'enei b'nei amam. It'll be in the eyes of everyone. You think it's in the privacy of your own home. No one's going to find out because it's my sister. Who's going to find out? It will be known. It will be revealed. Everybody will hear about it and it'll be something that's going to be absolutely disgusting. Rabbi Victor Miller says back in the day, there was a clarity when it came to these things. And I know nowadays we don't try to do this. But there was a clarity. When people were punished, they saw the reason why. They understood the reason why. It seemed more mita kenegan mita. And although we miss that nowadays, it's no longer the same as it once was. There's something there. There's something that even we can see in our own faults. When something happens to us, we should try to find something. This happened to me? Okay. It's clearly something that I needed to work on. What is this thing that I need to work on? I'm supposed to take out of it? Says the Rabbi Victor Miller, that's the lesson to take out. To say something is up, something needs to be done. We'll call it clear ashkacha process that goes through, even if you don't see it immediately, even if you don't go through. The Ramban adds from the Shonen that if he does this through ones, then it's even worse. Then it's avono yisna. He carries the sin himself, not the sister, and he adds on from that itself. But, the Ramban adds, this seems strange. Chesed means two very opposite things. It means a kindness and it means something disgusting. How does that word come into play? Now, granted, one is Hebrew and one is Aramaic. But nonetheless, there is a connection between Aramaic and Hebrew. There is something that goes through between the two. If the word Chesed in Hebrew means kindness, then the word chisda in Aramaic cannot mean something disgusting. That's just wrong. That doesn't make any sense at all. So he says, etymologically, says the Ramban, let's try to figure out, is there any way of understanding it in some other way? So he says that maybe chesed here really is understood to be a kindness. Maybe you have to understand it as a kindness and read it in a very different form over here. He says like this. He says, for sure the Medrash used this form, but the idea is like this. Chesed refers to the relationship between a brother and a sister. A brother and a sister should have a relationship where the brother is looking out for his sister. As we all know, like, you're not good enough for my sister. Looking out for anything, that if a guy comes along and wants to marry his sister and that guy's not a good guy, the brother stands up and says, no, you're not the guy marrying my sister, that he's willing to stand up. And so to a sister looks out for the brother. That's not the right girl for you. I don't want you to marry that girl. That girl's not the right person because I know this, that, and the other. A brother and a sister are chesedim to one another. They're the greatest chesed in the world to help each other and to help each other in need, that if the parents aren't there for them, they can work with each other to become something greater. That's what their relationship is. The way to read this pasuk according to Ramban is a total different read. The isha sheyikach zachos v'asiv v'asimo, if a man tries to marry his sister, the daughter his father, daughter his mother, v'raser v'asiv yisir v'aser v'as, so when they go too far and they see each other's nakedness, chesed hu. This was a relationship that should have been filled with chesed and you destroyed it. The word chesed doesn't mean disgusting. The word chesed doesn't mean degradation. It means you abused the chesed that Hashem brought into the world. You had a relationship that was so good. And look what you did to it. How dare you? How could you have done this? It's like the pasuk is yelling at you. How could you have messed up such a great chesed? How could you have done that? That's the idea behind it. And he says, and you see it throughout. He says, we go back to those psukim that we set up above. If you reveal someone's secret, it says, pen yechastecha shomea. Maybe there's going to be some type of thing over here. Maybe the idea is that what we're trying to say is when, I guess you could say almost like when a person goes ahead and tries to do something thinking that he's doing a chesed for others, you think you're trying to do chesed, you're messing up entirely. That's not what you should have done. And so to the other puzzle, chesed l'umim chatos, the chesed l'umim chatos, the chesed that the nations should have done and they didn't do, causes them to have tremendous sins on their shoulders. It's their own fault for not doing the chesed properly or chesed in the right way. That's the idea behind it. And maybe he says in Aramaic, there is a word chisuda, which seems to be degradation, but there's another one, chisda, like Rav Chisda, means kindness. It seems to me, by the way, that this is 100% the truest understanding of the word. There is no way that Rav Chisda, who clearly that's an Aramaic name because it has an aleph on it, there's no way his parents named him degradation. Does that make any sense to anyone? If you call him Rav Chesed, and he was named after the Hebrew word, I get it. But if Chisuda, according to Ibn Ezra, only meant degradation, it only meant something bad, what were Rav Chisda's parents thinking? That doesn't make any sense at all. So in my mind, it has to be the way the Ramban is saying it, that the word Chisda must have a double meaning, even in Aramaic, that it does mean Chisuda can mean something, but the word Chesed has this idea of what it means in kindness itself. The Ksav HaKabbalah, right from Meckelsburg, he says it's not Akasha at all. The Ramban's Shaila isn't even Akasha at all. He says, you're right, Chesed is a positive connotation. If I take my wallet out and I give 20 bucks to a Mishulach that walks by, isn't that a Chesed? I'm doing an unbelievable chesed, right? But on the other hand, isn't the Mishulach embarrassed that he has to take money from someone else? Every chesed, says the Ksav HaKabbalah, and such a great chap, every chesed has involved with it a degradation for another person. Somebody else is getting embarrassed that he has to take the chesed of whoever's giving it to him. Think about that for a second. A chesed means it's a kindness from one, and the other person is taking his embarrassment, his busha. So in that sense, says Ksav HaKabbalah, but it can't mean two different things, says Ksav HaKabbalah, by definition. Chesed means two different things. That's what it is. It is two different things. It's supposed to be two different sides, a good side and a bad side. So therefore, this word, chesed hu, in the pasuk is, it's the opposite of what chesed is for the guy giving tzedakah. It's chesed from the other side. Taking the chesed can be something bad. Yeah, Adi.
In this case, it's with two people and it's the degradation of both. It's not
Agreed. We're just taking the meaning of the word chesed while looking at the poor person, as opposed to looking at chesed from the rich person. But both those meanings apply to the brother and sister. I think it was done on purpose. I think it was done on purpose to show, well, we'll see a little bit more, but I think it was done on purpose to show that even chesed has that side. Even chesed, you got to remember that it still has that side. The Tzor LaTeva says, there shouldn't be a shaila here. There are so many words in Hebrew that have double meanings. Like, for example, he gives the word chet. Chet means to sin, but it also means to be missing something, that is chet. Chatos, which is cleansing something. What's a korban chatos? We all think sin offering, right? But to be chites means to cleanse something off of the mizbeach. The chitesa is hamizbeach. He says the word pakod. Pakod means to remember something. Pakod also means to be missing something. Kadosh means holy. But a kadesh is also the word used for a prostitute. There's that idea as well that comes out from kadosh. Horish means to inherit something. Horish also means to drive out something. The word redu means to rule over. But redu also means to go down. And so too, chesed can have two opposite meanings as well. It seems that there are many words in Hebrew that have that idea where they're literally opposites of one another, and we have to find the shorish behind it. If we understand that idea correctly, you can daven totally differently now. You ready? Normally the way we daven is Mechalko Chaim Bechesed. God supports all life with chesed. Mechaye Mesim Barachamim Rabim. He allows the Mesim to live with his tremendous rachamim. That's what a Kodesh Baruch Hu does. He's Mechalko Bechayim Bechesed Mechaye Mesim Barachamim. He says like this. He says, no. Hashem, why is it that Mechalkil Chayim Bechesed? Why is it that you're supporting the live tzaddikim? Live people, tzaddikim are called alive because they're about everything in this world and the next. So why is it that you're supporting the tzaddikim with chesed in such a degrading way where they have to collect money or do something in a horrible way in order to make sure that they survive? While Mechayim Esim, the dead, the Rishayim, are living Barachamim Rabim, with a tremendous amount of rachamim. Why is it, Hashem, that the tzaddikim seem to have chesed, which is degrading, and the rishayim have something big, and they have it with rachamim Rabim? Why? It's almost like a question form of how to read it, if you understand chesed in that second way over there. The Radak says the word chesed has two meanings that are literally exactly the same. Doing something good, and going beyond the letter of the law, but doing something so degrading, it's also going beyond the letter of the law. See, the idea the Radak says is that sometimes you can go too far in both directions. A person who's a Baal Chesed, a real Baal Chesed, you see these people, they do everything. They go beyond what they're supposed to do. You ask them to do something, they add on something different. You say to them, hey, can you do this? Can you get this done? And whatever it is. And he not only does it, but he gets extra, puts it down on the table and makes sure everything is taken care of. That's a Baal Chesed. On the other hand, Chesed can also be done in a way where you're going a bit too far in a bad way. See, the way the Radak is saying it, chesed means extreme. You're an extremely good person, or you can unfortunately be an extremely bad person. You could be somebody who's supporting and doing something great, or you can go in the exact opposite direction. The word chesed means going too far, and it can be used in good or bad. And that's, I think, the idea by the sister. By the sister, you thought of doing something good and you went beyond the letter of the law to help her, but you did it in a disgusting fashion. It's beyond whatever anyone could have ever imagined. Yeah?
Isn't the bracha of Mechayim Esim all about praising Hashem?
Yeah.
How does that fit in?
Same thing. It's more of like, I'm asking for how you work in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to praise you for all the good things you do. How could you have done this and not that? That's the idea behind it. So it's part of the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning it's not asking Hashem for a request to help the tzaddikim. It's pointing out, Hashem, how could you have done such a thing? The Rabbeinu Bechaya says it the exact same way. It's much clearer. When you do something nice, that's called chesed. When you do something extremely bad, that's also called chesed. It's an extreme of some sort. That's how the way the Rabbeinu Bechaya says it. Rav Hirsch also, he calls it personal devotion. Sometimes personal devotion is good. Sometimes you have personal devotion towards something that's bad. It's the root of the word that you're sitting there and you can abandon somebody. Abandon somebody in their time of need because of another need that comes in an extreme fashion. It says reverse, that's the idea. You're giving up yourself. You're giving up something that you have when it's good and when it's bad, unfortunately. Minchas Belula and the Rechaim Paltiel both say, it's kind of a sick thought. It really is a disgusting thought. But they say, when a brother sees his sister has something wrong and that she's not getting a proper shidduch, the thought process behind the brother is that, well, I have to help out my sister. My sister so badly wants to have a baby and wants to have a normal life, but she can't find a husband. So I'll let her have that baby. I'll let her have a normal life. I'll move to another town with her and make sure nobody knows that we're brother and sister, and I'll make sure that she has a normal life. It's a disgusting thought, a terrible, terrible thought, but it's misplaced chesed. It's chesed thinking you're helping out the person when really you're destroying them and destroying yourself in the process. It's an idea of going a little too far. I don't know a person like this, but I'm sure there are people out there that do so much chesed, they forget about themselves. They forget about who they are, that they're helping out all other people. I do know a story, but again, I don't know if this is a real story or not, by a person who's known as a Baal Chesed in the community, does everything for everybody, always running around and everything, and the Rebbe calls him in. I don't know names. It's one of those stories. So the Rebbe calls him in and says, I have something for you to take care of. There's a wife whose husband is never around, never doing anything for them. They have 6 kids. The wife and the kids need a ton of help. I need somebody to be there, taking care of them, making sure somebody's there for dinner. And he's like, not a problem. I'll take care of it as soon as I can. What's the address? And the Rebbe gives him the address. And the guy says, wait, that's my address. And the Rebbe says, right. Did you all get it?
Yeah.
Did you get it? Like when I started saying off the story, you saw where I was going with this? Yeah, because I kind of gave it away. Because it's obvious, right? It's like such an obvious thing that like you're forgetting about your own family and taking care of everyone else when your own family needs it. It's misplaced chesed. This is to another extreme, right? Where you're saying, well, my sister needs a baby. Well, how else is she going to have a baby? That's totally misplaced chesed and disgusting in a certain way. But it's like idiotic chesed in that way. And it's punishable by kares. But I love my sibling so much, I can't stand to see her suffer. And vice versa. I love my brother so much, I can't stand to see him suffer. Misplaced chesed. You're missing the idea of what it is. And the musar is that sometimes the best thing for a person is the opposite of what their natural mida is. Meaning you're a really, really kind person. Well, the test by you, because you're such a kind person, is to sometimes show that you're not always kind, that you could be a little bit mean. Avram Avinu's nisayon was not to be kind to other people. That was not a test. His nisayon was to shecht his child. That was a nisayon. Because Avraham Avinu, the nicest, kindest person who loves everyone and loves his son more than anything in the world, for him to say, okay, I'm going to shecht my son, took so much out of him. It's the exact opposite of what his mita stands for. Truth is, this is true by all the avos. Yitzchak Avinu, what was Yitzchak Avinu known for? He was known for gevura, right? Midas ha-din, that he was the judgment guy. For him to misjudge Esav and be dan him lechaf schus, to think that what he's doing is actually good, was almost an impossibility. How in the world could Yitzchak see Esav in a different light? He's the Midas Adin. Midas Adin looks at everybody and sees all the faults that they have. How could Esav even fool him in that way? He's always looking up for the Midas Adin in people. The answer is, because he fought that Midah. He did have Midas Adin. And his perfection was that he was able to see even the good in Esav. That's a perfection. Yaakov Inu's Midah is emes, to tell the truth. So his perfection is to be willing, when needed, to lie to his father, right? To say, Anochi Esav Bechorecha. That's his perfection. We see the perfection in that. We see this idea based on what Mincha Blue and Rechaim Paltiel are saying, is that when you see your midas going in a certain way, but there's something involved here, there's an Isayin, you have to sometimes turn yourself around and become the opposite of what you are. And typically speaking, by all of our Nisyonos, our greatest tests are almost always in the mida, the characteristic that you are really, really good at. Something that you have no problems with. The test comes in the opposite form of that mida. Like me, I'm one of the meanest people you're ever going to meet in your life. If I'm nice to you, I have officially gained my Olam Haba. That's it. That's all I needed in order to get there. It's like the greatest thing in the world. All I have to do is do one thing that just makes it the opposite and that allows for something to be there. In this sense, not in the sense of me being the meanest person, but in the sense of this being, chesed being a kindness as well as something that's degrading at the same time, Rashi brings a medrash over here. This truly was a chesed at times. Cain married his sister, and the whole world ended up surviving from Cain and his sister up until, obviously, Shace was born 130 years later. There is a chesed to a brother marrying a sister at times, even if we don't understand it entirely. That's a chesed for the world to grow, and it couldn't happen otherwise. And that's what it means. Olam chesed yibonet. The world was created through chesed. I guess it could even be learned through Shace. How did Shace marry someone? You'd assume Shace married his sister. It's possible he married one of Kayin's kids, but either way, he married a relative. This concept of Olam Chesed Yibaneh is there. Targum Yonasan says it as well. The Chesed is at the beginning of the world for to allow the world to be created and be brought through with all the good things that we have. It's all through Kayin and his sister, through something that happened. And says Rashi, that's the idea behind it. Now, I'll ask you a question. Didn't the Shvatim marry their sisters, according to Rabbi Yehuda and the Medrash? You've heard that before, right? Some say they married Kenanim, which is Kenanios, I should say, which is a little strange. And the other opinion is they married their sisters, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia. Rabbi Yehuda says that they married their sisters. Why would they have done such a thing if the Torah forbids it? Why would they have done it? So the Mizrahi gives the classic answer. The Mizrahi says the Shvatim did not keep all the mitzvos of the Torah unless they were in Eretz Yisrael. When they were in Eretz Yisrael, they kept the mitzvos. When they were outside of Eretz Yisrael, they didn't keep the mitzvos. Therefore, they married their sisters before they came to Eretz Yisrael. After they came to Eretz Yisrael, possibly they separated from them. But that's like the classic answer. They kept it inside Eretz Yisrael, but not outside of Eretz Yisrael. There are enough Midrashim that argue with this. Aside from that, that's really, really strange because the Shvatim were not that old when they came to Eretz Yisrael. For them to have married their sisters and then ditched them after that is extremely strange. A very, very strange answer. But there's other kashas they ask on the Mizrahi. You don't need that. The Gur Aryeh says it's not a shal at all. In classic Maharal fashion, he says there is no need to keep the Torah before the Torah was given. That is not a chiyuv whatsoever. He says Kayin was different. Kayin didn't have the Torah at all. And really, the question is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu would want the world to survive through such things. And that was the chesed over there, that he allowed such a thing to happen, but he doesn't think that it's a kasha between from the Mizrahi itself. Maskul David says something different. I think this is a brilliant answer. Absolutely brilliant. When you hear about twins, you know, I would say 99.9% of the time, you know that one is born before the other. The boy is born before the girl is born before the boy, right? That's what ends up happening. It's impossible for the boy and girl to be born together, right? Just simply put, it's impossible for the babies to be born at the same time because they can't fit. There's no way they're going to fit out at the exact same time. Then you have a problem. If the boy is born first, then the girl that's born afterward is his sister because the boy's already there. If the girl is born first, then the boy that's born afterward is her brother because then you have a brother and sister relationship. There's something there. If you have both of them born at the exact same time, somehow, if that would happen, that the boy and girl would be born at the exact same time, suggests the Maskil David, it may be that nowadays, with the Torah, there would be an Isser Achva. But he says, and this is an interesting point in just Lumdus, there's no Isser Achva that's Chal at the moment that both of them come out at the exact same time. There's no Isser Achva. Meaning the Isser Achva comes in when there's a brother that then a sister is born to him, or a sister and the brother is born to him, to her. Meaning as if there's something there for it to be chal on, for it to be there. But if they're born at the exact same time, they're ki'ilu the same person, which means there's no brother-sister relationship. So here's the chesed. Hashem did a chesed to make sure that Kayin and his twin were born at the exact same time, which meant they weren't brother and sister with one another. And what it means is that Kayin married his sister because she was born with him, but it wasn't an Isser of Achva, an Isser of sisterhood, says Maskil David, which would be a problem. There was no Isser, and therefore they can marry each other. Now again, this is not a halachic ramification for now. Maybe this works for Bnei Noach. I don't know. It might work for a Ben Noach. For a non-Jew, would that be considered if somehow they were born at the exact same time, maybe possibly through a C-section, if that's possible for them to both come out the exact same time, is there an Isser Achva? But the concept, conceptually, what an idea. That was the chesed. What's up, Jake?
What you're saying is they're born together.
Yeah.
They're one unit.
Yes. Yes. But there's no Isser Achva. They are separate people, but the same unit. So there's no Isser Achva, and what's the Erva? She's not a mother, she's not a daughter, she's not a sister, she's not an aunt, she's not... So what? There's no Isser. That's the concept. Conceptually, that's what the Maskil David is saying.
What they're saying is that if you're born exactly, precisely, no tenths or millionths of a second...
No, exactly zero.
Exactly zero.
Yeah.
Very, very trifling.
Trifling. No, I don't want it to be trifling. I want it to be, it's not good for you, okay? I don't know if you had a sister born with you at the exact same time.
No,
I'm just saying, like, that's not going to happen.
I'm just saying, like, getting my head around the fact.
It's just not a sister. What is it?
You're considered a unit, but not brother and sister.
Yeah, you're not. That's the idea. Now, again, wouldn't work for us, but it might work for Bnei Noach. Yeah,
Doesn't that still cause a problem? Because the pasuk you quoted earlier, instead of just
right?
Not?
Yeah. So that would be a problem because Bas Achoso and Bas Imo at the same exact time. Ooh, good question, Ma'amati. Good question. That's a really, really good question. So yeah, for a Jew, that would be a problem, but maybe not for a Ben Noach. You're right. For a Jew, it might be a problem. Wait, quick, because I only have 4 minutes. Quick. Yeah. By Gerim? Oh, so you're going to say, what about if they were Megayer each other, right? If they were Megayer. So that is an answer. The Nachas Yaakov and Sitzach Chaim said they were able to marry from different mothers because by Gerim, you can marry a sister from the same father, but not from the same mother. So in other words, Reuben would have married, let's say, Gud's twin. And Zvulun would have married, let's say, Yosef's twin. And something like that, one from the other. So they would marry from other mothers, and that was okay. Wouldn't explain Kayin, but that would be allowed because Gershon is Garakot and Shinola dummy, and those aren't us over there. The Miyamalois doesn't like it. The Berba Sada also thinks it's really strange it would happen that way. It's strange. I'm not going to mention this Shach Ala Torah. It's a really, really strange one. If you want to look at it inside, it's right over here. But there's a Shach Ala Torah that I was absolutely shocked by. I will end with this. There's a Torah's Moshe. Now, I will tell you, wouldn't it be better, says the Chassam Sofer, and this is a classic Chassam Sofer, wouldn't it be better if God created two people? And that way there would be no issue of sisters whatsoever. I mean, what he would have done is he would have made Adam and, I don't know, and Eretz. Let's call them Eretz because they both come from the ground. So you have Adam and Eretz. Adam would have had his wife, Chava, right, from the bone. And Eretz would have had his wife, Lava, right? And she would have been also from the bone. And there would have been Adam and Chava and Eretz and Lava. And their sons would have married their daughters and vice versa. Wouldn't that have been awesome? I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have easily done this and gotten around the sister problem. You've gotten around all this. So it seems to be that there would be an easy way of getting around it. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu only create one and not two? And the answer is obvious. He created one and not two in order to keep the peace. He wanted to make sure there would be no fights. Because each one of them, Adam and Eretz, would have constantly argued with each other. I'm the purpose of the world. No, I'm the purpose of the world. If they were both created equally, then one of them would always claim, no, I'm the greater one. No, I'm the greater one. The same way we see it by little kids today, that they argue with each other, especially with twins. Each one claims that they're the equal one. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want that. So therefore, he created only as one. So now you see something absolutely amazing over here. Okay? He made him as man, split him as one. And what do we see? God allowed there to be a rios in order to stop fights. He would rather a brother marry a sister than have a fight between two people. Kayin and Hevel. That was the issue with Kayin. What did Kayin say to Hevel? Hevel was born with two twin triplet sisters. Kayin was born with one twin sister. Said Kayin to Hevel, let me marry your two, and you'll marry my one. Right? And the reason why is because that way, listen, we got to marry our sisters, we got to marry our sisters. But at least we'll be able to marry somebody who's a little bit off. At least there will be a relationship that's a little bit different. Like, we can't do everything, but at least we'll be able to do this. Why can't we marry the other one? So Kayin said, I'll marry them. Hevel said, no, I want to marry my two twin sisters, and that's that. He wanted the erva of marrying a sister. And for that, Kayin said, how dare you? How could you go against something that the Torah says later on and marry your sister? And he got up and he killed him, says the Chassam Sofer. That's exactly why Hashem wanted there to be a rise in the world, so there wouldn't be any fights. They were allowed to marry sisters, so there wouldn't be any fights. And Kayin got into a fight because of Arias. It was the exact opposite of what Hashem wanted in the first place. Says the Chassam Sofer, that's why Kayin was so wrong in what he did, aside from the fact that he killed somebody. He was so wrong in his thought process. The whole point was, I'd rather you marry an erva than get into a fight. And Kayin said, I'd rather get into a fight than marry an erva. It was the exact opposite of what he had. The Chassam Sofer says that might be why. I don't think I have to go into this. There's no reason for this over here. But the idea is the abomination that comes from it, etc. The moral disc, and he goes on. But this concept, conceptually, the idea, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would rather there be. Now, again, I don't know how to apply this so much. It applies in the beginning of the world. But if a guy comes up to you and says, I plan on marrying my sister, and you're like, well, I don't want to get into a fight. I don't think that's the proper thing to do in that situation. I don't think that's, in the beginning of the world, that's how it worked. And Kayin should have learned that lesson. I don't think that should apply nowadays. I'm pretty sure you should say something, right? If you can say something, that's something like, you know, say like that's a, that should be a TSA line that should be used for this as well, I would assume. But the conceptually, the idea is there. What we said was, we started off with that Rav Schwab about Arias, and we went in that unbelievable Gemara and how to understand it, what a real relationship is. We went through the word chesed. We went through the Ibn Ezra's, the Rashi's, that first idea of what chesed means. We then went into the Ramban, the Ramban's idea. We then went into the Radak and the Rabbeinu Bachaya that says it means literally exact opposites. We talked about Rashi saying it is a chesed by kind. We talked about the Shvatim. Afterward, we went into this final way of what the chesed really is. Have a great Shabbos, everybody.
Thank you.